This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, everybody jump.
Yes. A good Friday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose. Mark Malusis flying solo with you for the next 3 hours right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time as we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Taz is off, and he has a nice three-day weekend for himself. Well-deserved. Bogish is down in Disney. Maybe we'll chat with Andrew a little bit later on about his Disney vacation with the family. The photos online on Instagram are glorious, as Mike was running through them before the show. Beseglia across the way. Heller has got your updates as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. Next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
That is your number to call. Thank you, Mean Gene. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And we got NFL picks coming your way a little bit later on in the program as well. Adam Fisher is going to join us coming your way at top of the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Gus Frerotte as well, former Washington Redskin quarterback, and see what Gus is up to a little later on in the program. Chat about a little bit of football with him. And we kick it off here on this Friday morning, and there's a lot to get into. But we kick it off with the Thursday night game. And, you know, sitting back and, you know, as the Jets were a 16.5, 17-point underdog going into that game last night down in Baltimore, as the Ravens are well on their way to being the top team in the AFC and all rightfully deserved as they're riding a tremendous winning streak. Watching Lamar Jackson play the quarterback position and the comparisons to, you know, Michael Vick. And this is the first thing that hit me because you've seen this before and you saw Vick last night in a little bit of a tribute to Lamar Jackson as he broke his, you know, rushing record. And you've seen Vick talk about Lamar Jackson and people have drawn that comparison to Michael Vick. Listen, I will say this in terms of athletic ability and Jackson coming off a game against the Jets last night where he's got the 5 touchdown passes and, you know, his speed in the open field is otherworldly and ridiculous. And yes, he's faster in the open field than Michael Vick. And Vick was a special quarterback coming out of Virginia Tech. And we know what transpired down in Atlanta when he was with the Falcons, a lot of success. And then the dogfighting ring and then the suspension and the prison time and going to Philadelphia and rejuvenating his career. But here's the big difference between Michael Vick and Lamar Jackson. Jackson has got the work ethic that Michael Vick never had. And it's really a credit to Lamar Jackson. As I threw up a picture last night of Bill Polian, who was critical of Jackson coming out of Louisville, as many were. And listen, I never thought Lamar Jackson needed to change positions, but I was never a believer that Lamar Jackson would be this, because right now he's the MVP of the league, and he's running away with it. And there's nobody even close, as you've seen a little bit of a deterioration in the play of Russell Wilson out there in Seattle with the Seahawks. I never thought that Lamar Jackson coming out of Louisville after watching what he did at Louisville, and specifically under Bobby Petrino, and that year that he won the Heisman Trophy, and I thought he was the best player in America without a doubt. Now, he got my first place vote that year. And I've been voting for the Heisman Trophy for the last, I would say, 7-8 years. I've been lucky enough to be one of the voters. I thought that year he clearly was, but I also thought he was a guy that, you know, some of the throws were easy. I didn't love his delivery. I thought he was more of a better passer in college than Vince Young and some other guys that you've seen where have been kind of placement throwers. But I never thought he'd be as accurate as he has been in the National Football League. Here's the one thing Jackson has done. He's worked. He's worked, he's worked, he's worked. And I bring that example up because there might be people who say, well, what do you mean? Michael Vick worked? I mean, he worked. No. Well, honestly, not to the level Lamar Jackson did or has. And the example I bring about that with that is I remember Jim Mora Jr., who at that point in time was an analyst on the NFL Network. Did a sit-down interview with Michael Vick on his return to the National Football League. And Mora was down in Atlanta, was the head coach of the Falcons when Vic was there. You know, brought up an example of the very fact of the fact that he and the coaching staff used to put together videos, you know, splice together videos and NFL plays of the defenses they were going up against, what they wanted to do offensively, and do it every single week for Michael Vick and would give him a DVD. And during that interview, asked Michael Vick in terms of what he did with those DVDs, and Vick basically told him, he threw them in the backseat of his car and never watched them. And I don't get the sense that Lamar Jackson is doing that with the Baltimore Ravens. In fact, I know he's not. Jackson's a guy that last year showed you that he couldn't throw the football. He's completely changed his style. It's a credit to the Baltimore Ravens in terms of building that offense, a modern-day running game, and using the RPO, and using at times a little bit of a triple option. Not a lot, but they've done it at times. And playing to the strengths of the quarterback. And when you're able to run the football as effectively as the Baltimore Ravens are able to run the football, and the offensive line, even without their starting left tackle last night against the Jets, who are, you know, one of the best rush defense in the National Football League, if you're able to still win at the point of attack, even with missing a significant offensive lineman in Stanley last night, you know what? Right now, the Baltimore Ravens can't do anything wrong. And as I watched that game last night and watched Lamar Jackson just absolutely light up the Baltimore night and light up that Jet defense as the Baltimore Ravens win that game going away 42-21, and you're watching Jackson continue to stamp himself at the MVP of the league, and people want to say he's this, he's that. No, you know what he is? He's special. You know, he might not throw for 500 yards in a game, but he doesn't need to. He's got 33 passing touchdowns so far this year. The offensive line wins at the point of attack. They're able to run it. You look at it, their second string running back, Gus Edwards, a former, you know, Rutgers Scarlet Knight, is averaging over 5 yards a carry. When Lamar Jackson is in the open field, tell me a defensive player right now. Darrell Green's been retired a long, long time. Tell me a defensive player right now that's running Lamar Jackson down from behind. I don't think there is one. And as we all want to compare him to what he is, and is he this or is he that, and what player in recent history do you compare him to? And everyone's going to throw Vic out there, as I saw him on doing interviews this morning, last night, during the course of the game. And Vic is giving him all the accolades in the world and saying, you know, loves watching him play, get the popcorn out, everything and the like. He's better than Michael Vick. Because there was a point in time where you looked at Vic and put the stuff with the dogfighting and the prison time aside. Look at him just as a player. There was a time you looked at Michael Vick and you thought he was going to be, and he was, a transformational star. He's one of the biggest stars, one of the biggest faces in the National Football League. But, if you define his career, you would say it's more often than not a disappointment. Of potential never realized. He had great moments. That victory in the snow in the playoff game against the Green Bay Packers, bringing the Atlanta Falcons in there, that was a great Michael Vick moment. Night game, snow falling, Brett Favre winning that game, that was a great Michael Vick moment. Lamar Jackson seems like it's going to be potential realized time and time and time again. And it's amazing how we look at the college draft, and that's why you say it's an inexact science. And you look at guys, and kind of in that draft process, Lamar Jackson was a forgotten about player, a Heisman Trophy winner, a star on the collegiate level in Louisville, one of the best players in the college game. And there weren't many teams that believed he could be what he is now. Because if you did then redrafted that draft right now, he'd be the number one overall pick. The leadership that he shows on the sideline, the game that he shows on the field, there's no question about it. There does not look like there's anything on the football field that Lamar Jackson cannot do. And the personality that he has shown is the style and fashion which that Raven team plays. They've taken on Lamar Jackson's personality. He has shown you, even at a young age, being a baby, not old man. They've been linked and they've been hooked by that leadership of Lamar Jackson. And they play to his strengths as a team. It's a credit to Harbaugh. It's a credit to that organization. You know, Ozzie Newsome, now DeCastro running that franchise, the personnel they're able to bring into it, the adjustments, losing guys like, Smith, Za'Darius Smith to the Packers in free agency, losing a guy like C.J. Mosley, having that linebacking core continue to, you know, be regrouped, the transformation from being just a team about all about defense and see if we can scratch across enough offense to win football games, to now an offense that basically puts it, the opposing defense, on its heels from the word go. And that's difficult to do. Think about that. You know, you think about great teams or great coaches and what they are like and really what defines them. You know, when you think about a Bill Parcells team, you think about a great ground game, defense, 3-4, big linebackers. When you think about, Bill Walsh, you think about the West Coast offense. When you think about Mike Holmgren, you think about the West Coast offense. When you think about, Mike McCarthy, you think about the West Coast offense. And I know I'm throwing through, you know, some names out there, but I mean, when you think about those great coaches and what they were able to do at the time, and that's just a few. I mean, Belichick, the Patriots are able to adjust, but you think about Belichick and Brady, but you kind of get a sense what the Pats are all about, but they're kind of an amoeba defense, and on offense, they're able to adjust and play a different style based on the opponent when they are great offensively, based on the opponent that they're going up against. This year's New England Patriots are by no stretch of the imagination great. But the Baltimore Ravens for years under Jim Harbaugh was defined by that defense. That's what you knew. Whether it be Ray Lewis, Bart Scott, Ed Reed, run up and down the line even before that. When you think about when the Ravens won that Super Bowl and embarrassed the Giants and Jim Fossil, you think about that defense. You think about Ray Lewis running down Tiki Barber in the open field and saying, how is a middle linebacker running down Tiki Barber in the open field? And that's exactly what he did. And that was a Raven defense, led by a different head coach, but that Raven defense, and there were a number of holdovers over the years. The Peter Bowlwares, Michael McCrary, I mean, go up and down the line, they had great defensive players. That Raven defense this year is not great. As Buck pointed out on the broadcast last night, they're good, they're getting better, but that Raven team is defined by the quarterback. An offensive line that even with injuries could still win at the point of attack. You know, two very, very talented tight ends led by Mark Andrews, a third-round draft pick coming out of Oklahoma. You got Hollywood Brown, the speedster on the outside, and you've got a running game that basically wears you down and breaks your will. And then you've got a quarterback that can make all the throws, and even when a play breaks down, is able to lengthen out the play because of his speed and his athleticism and his feet, to be able to give guys second and third opportunities downfield to get themselves open. They're a special team. And it isn't an exact science looking at quarterbacks coming out of college and saying what they're going to be in the National Football League, because I don't think, even if you were a Lamar Jackson fan coming out of Louisville, he said he could play the quarterback position in the National Football League. I don't know how many guys would think that he would be the MVP in the league, this early. This soon. Where that organization turns that team over, especially after what you saw last year with his inability to throw the football, but that's exactly what he is. He is the MVP of the league. And last night was a tour de force performance. And what you learn about great teams and championship caliber teams is this. There's no hiccups. There's no didn't show up this week. There's no bad performances. They might lose some games. There's only been one team that's been able to go through the year and win a Super Bowl going undefeated, and that being the Miami Dolphins. We know that. And the Patriots had that great run before losing to the Giants out there in Glendale, Arizona in 2007. But you would think short work week, home, Jets not going anywhere, coming off a tough performance a week previous against Buffalo, up there in Buffalo, a game that they could have lost. Jackson dealing with a quad injury. He has said, would it be all that surprising, even with them being a 16.5, 17-point favorite, would it be all that surprising if the Baltimore Ravens, you know, sneaked out or eked out a victory last night against the Jets? That would be all that surprising. But you find a way to win the game. This Raven team, there's no let-up. There's no looking past an opponent. There's none of that. And that's what makes it fun. And that's what makes them an absolute joy to watch. And the quarterback leads the way. He is a wonderful young player. A great young man that clearly the Ravens are in good hands for years to come. And I hate when people point out what guys can't do instead of appreciating what they can. No, he doesn't throw like Joe Montana or Aaron Rodgers. And sometimes he drops his elbow, and sometimes there's going to be some throws where he looks highly inaccurate. But clearly, he worked in the offseason, something that Michael Vick did not do, did not dedicate himself to the game. Michael Vick enjoyed being a star, enjoyed all the money and the accolades and the Madden covers and all that that came his way. And God bless him. He earned a lot of money. Didn't handle everything in his life well, we know that. Went to prison, we know that. But Michael Vick was an absolute star when he was playing in the National Football League. But he did not work to continue to be great. He leaned a lot on his pure natural ability and thought that was going to be enough at the end of the day. For Jackson, he takes that athletic ability that he has, that God-given ability, what he's able to work in on a day-in, day-out basis, and he puts even the extra work in to continue to be great, or to be great. I'm sure he heard the catcalls after last year, he can't throw it. Ravens will never be able to win that way. All right, yes, we understand that it was the end of the road for Joe Flacco, but Lamar Jackson's not going to be able to prove to be an answer. How many people said, you're not going to be able to stay healthy? With the way that they were running last year, there's no way with his body he's going to be able to hold up. Look at him now. He's not the biggest of quarterbacks, but he's certainly bigger than what he played in college. He's certainly added on muscle. He's added on weight. They don't play the same style and fashion, and he worked in the offseason on his throw motion and his delivery to become a better thrower. And he's clearly a better thrower of the football, and his game has evolved as this season has got along. In a Thursday night game in which you can get into Sam Darnold, which we'll touch upon, and touch upon maybe the chill out between him and the head coach, Adam Gase, and where that Jet organization is going, another lost year for Gangrene. As the Jets were getting their doors blown off against the Baltimore Ravens and losing that game, being down at one point in time by, 28 points, losing the game by 21 and getting doubled up. What you appreciate is a Baltimore Raven team that just might be the face of AFC football for years to come. Think about young quarterbacks in the National Football League. Think about two young stars in the AFC. You think about Mahomes and you think about Jackson. Two dynamic young quarterbacks that do it distinctly different. But if you're a Chief fan and you're a Raven fan, what you do know is the most important position, as long as they stay healthy, is solidified for the next decade plus. And Jackson showed you his wares, showed you his talent in another tour de force MVP performance in the Thursday night game. It was fun to watch. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. It's Mark Melusis flying solo here on this Friday morning. We got NFL picks coming your way a little bit later on the program. We'll get into a little baseball. Adam Fisher, longtime executive with the Mets and the Braves, contributor on SNY, will join us a little later on the program. We're going to chat with Gus Frerotte, former Redskin quarterback, a little later on the program as well. Bawami, I hear, is going to make an appearance. And Bilotti is fired up this morning. Why? Because Chef Mike, he's getting his baked chicken, Brussels sprouts, right? Fingerling potatoes, and a basil vinaigrette. That's being delivered 42 minutes from now. Bilotti said he's not eating it now. He's going to hold off for lunch. But for winning, who knows, Taz game more, Pete Bilotti gets his meal today. So it's a good Friday for Bilotti as well. We're just getting going. It's Taz and the Moose on a Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On a Friday morning, we got NFL picks coming your way a little bit later on the program. Number to call is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's head out to Jersey and hit the phones. It's our buddy John. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's up, John?
He is John, 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 John. He is John, 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 John. He is John, 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 John from Jersey.
What's up, Johnny?
Hey, Moose, how are you?
Good morning. Good morning. By the way, just before we get to your point on the NFL, my kids who love this song for a long time and played it over and over and over again, I went to my middle son Paul the other day. I go, sing the Shark song. He goes, no, I don't like that song anymore. I'm like, all right, we've moved on in life. There you go. So very nice. So the Shark song no longer being blasted in the Malusa's household, but it's always great to hear when you come on, John. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, you look at the Raven game last night, and you know, they are just really, really impressive. I mean, I kind of likened it almost like when I was a kid growing up and, you know, you used to watch Oklahoma play. And, you know, you knew what they were going to do, and you couldn't stop it. And the Ravens, you know what they're doing. It isn't a lot of, you know, I mean, maybe there's some, you know, little gimmickry, but it's, they're just going to run it down your throat, and you can't stop it.
No, and you know, it was, I was listening to a little bit of the Jet postgame show locally in New York last night, and they do a, you know, a very good job, Marty and Gross and stuff like that. But they asked the question, how do you slow this team down defensively? How do you handle this offense right now? And you know, it's difficult to do because you could commit to stopping the run, but if you commit to stopping the run, they're going to beat you with one of the tight ends. Are they going to beat you with Hollywood Brown over the top? And you're going to see that. If you make sure, if you're, you know, putting eight in the box, that's going to play to them as well, because if you don't get to Lamar Jackson and he's able to break containment, it's a running play, he's going to be running open the field. He's going to be running the open field. There's going to be nobody that's going to be able to run him down. They are a very, very difficult team to beat right now. Unless they go out there and play a sloppy game in which Jackson's turned the football over, they're a difficult team.
And what's impressive with Jackson is that, you know, it isn't almost like, you know, if you compare him to, say, RG3, where RG3 came in the league and, you know, and it's almost like teams figured him out. And I know there was injuries and whatnot with him, but Jackson's just getting better, and you could just see him. I mean, I would watch him play at Louisville, and I liked him at Louisville. I didn't think he, like, you know, you had said, I didn't think he should have changed positions coming in the league, but I didn't think he'd be the MVP either. And you could just see him getting better. Where I remember I called you and Taz before the Patriots played them, and I had said to Taz, well, I'm not worried about Jackson. I think we can control Jackson. I mean, I couldn't have been more wrong. You watch him now, it's like, how the hell do you stop him?
Yeah, John, it's a great question because he can throw it. And because he can hit guys, and he's got a good connection with his tight ends and with Brown down the field, and you throw in Snead and some other receivers in there as well. I don't know how you deal with that Ravens team. I think what you have to go in to a game in order to beat Baltimore, I think you got to win time of possession. I think you got to limit offensive possessions for them. You can't settle for field goals. You got to score touchdowns. Gaze was talking about this, and you know, and his pressers after the game are terrible, but he kind of ran down what the Jets need to do. You can't lose the turnover battle. There's things you need to do to put yourself in a position in the fourth quarter against the Baltimore Ravens. But that is also very, very difficult to do when you know you have to be that fine as a football team and you can't afford a misstep. Because once you have a misstep, you see what Baltimore did last night. I mean, the Jets have, you know, you have the Darnold fumble. You have the failure on the fourth down play. All of a sudden, a game that's 14-7 is a blowout.
Yeah.
And they run away and hide.
Yeah. And also, Harbaugh is a very good coach.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. Oh, he's great. And you know what? He's got the acumen of his brother. I mean, they're almost, but he's got a much different demeanor, right? As unlikable as Jim Harbaugh is to some people, John Harbaugh is the complete opposite. I think he's an easy guy to root for.
I agree.
All right, Johnny. Thanks. Appreciate the call, brother. Okay. Have yourself a good Friday and a good weekend. I'll tell you this, John, the ultimate Patriots fan, seems like a beaten man. It's almost like he's given up the playoffs all of a sudden. It's like it's Baltimore's. It's the AFC is Baltimore's to lose, but you can understand that. I mean, they handled the Patriots easily. Tell me, I mean, they went into Los Angeles and basically took the Rams' soul. I mean, they embarrassed them. How many times do you need to see this to realize what they are? And they are a great football team. And Jackson is a hell of a young quarterback. Hell of a young quarterback. And you mentioned RG3. He had the instant stardom, the relationship with Snyder. He didn't get it early. He also didn't work in the Redskins as an organization. I don't think they wholeheartedly believed in RG3. I think that was more of a management selection than it was a Mike Shanahan selection at the time. But here's the difference you want to look at in terms of players. And RG3 was a wonderful athlete, great player coming out of Baylor, Heisman, everything like, right? Here's the difference. Jackson doesn't take the hits that Robert Griffin III take. That's if you were going to run in the National Football League, you do not have to be stupid when you're running. And what I mean by that is you don't take unnecessary hits for an additional 3 or 4 yards. At the end, it does not matter. You need to be healthy on the field, and that's something that Robert Griffin III struggled with. You've seen some other running quarterbacks struggle with it as well, not just him. I mean, Lamar Jackson took one big hit last night when he was in the open field by Hewitt from the Jets. However, that was it. And you watch on replay, it wasn't even as bad of a hit as it looked in live action. But he's running out of bounds. He's getting down. He's very similar to Russell Wilson, another running quarterback, another athletic quarterback that can run up there in Seattle. He's also got a cannon for an arm. Wilson never takes unnecessary hits. He gets down. You don't have to lay it on. There's no machismo. Lay it on the line. See who wins on, first and 15 when you scramble for 8 yards. Let me try and knock this safety over. For what? That's how you get hurt. And that's what happened with RG3 down in Washington, along with a number of other things. Heller's in the house this morning. He's been in here all week long. We're going to try and hook up with Bogus later. Your idea a couple of days ago.
Okay,
flushed
good.
Out. Hopefully you'll be able to join us after your update in the third and final hour and come in here and we can reminisce with Bogus about his Disney trip. The pictures look amazing. I'm curious if he's hooked up with Zach Martin, at Epcot.
That's
what
we're all wondering,
right,
around
shared
here.
One of the countries, Italy, shared a pizza pie with Zach Martin on a Wednesday afternoon at Epcot down in Orlando.
Ooh, that's going to be a good one.
Reminiscing about life in radio.
I mean, wouldn't that be something?
That would be. Imagine turning the corner. You get off Space Mountain.
You're on that Space Mountain High.
Right, Space Mountain High. Your kids are basically, I'm sure, just like all young children, they're like clamoring or excitement. They want to go to the bathroom. They got to get popcorn. They want to get this. They want this gizmo, that gadget. Mickey's there. There's Buzz Lightyear and everything like that. So it is like, for a kid, you walk into Disney World, it's just like the way, it's like...
It's sensory overload.
Oh, no, that's exactly right. And it's like heaven. So you're dealing with your kids, and he's got two young kids, and then all of a sudden you turn a corner, you get off Space Mountain, you had a little bit of peace and quiet because the young kids can't go on Space Mountain, it's a little too scary, and you turn the corner, and there's Zach Martin.
Wow.
And be like, Bogus. Hey, what's going on? And he wants to start like a nice 20-minute conversation about Disney and what they've done.
The kids will think he's one of the characters from Disney.
Yes, that's exactly right. Could you think of maybe, turn to the corner, is that the last guy you'd want to see in Disney World? Would be Zach.
Wow.
Hello?
The answer is yes.
Thanks for playing along.
There you go. Why?
Heller, are you all right over there? Are you all right this morning?
I'll let Bisseglia jump in there
first. Are you all right?
There, I mean, that's a list. That's
Heller's
a short list.
Heller's out of it.
That's a short list. It's been a long week, Moose.
I understand.
I love hanging out with you guys. It's been a long week.
You were staring at the TV.
Well,
and
you know what? I'm trying to.
Bisseglia jumped in. Bilotti got it, who's Mr. Disney as well. Bilotti, is that the last person you would want to see? Is that
very last?
That's the
very last.
Would he then just follow Andrew around the theme park and go from place to place, ride to ride, and just hound him the whole time?
Would
he have the self-awareness to be like, Andrew's with his family, I need to give him some space, it was nice to see you for a few minutes?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Now, it's not Disney. We're at the studios here at CBS Sports Radio. Zach has followed me to the men's room to continue a conversation as I'm going to the bathroom at the urinal to finish it out. So... The answer to that question would be he'd probably follow him for a while. If he's willing to follow somebody to the men's room as they have to relieve themselves in order to finish a conversation, I don't think he's an easy guy to shake at Disney World.
Well, that's what's funny, because in your production meetings, when it came up about trying to reach out to Bogus, oh, no, we don't want to bother Bogus. He's at Disney World with his family. Meanwhile, they could have Zach Martin following him around the last 3 days, is nothing.
Well, that's true. How about if you're at a character breakfast?
Oh,
and you're
man.
Up there, you're at the, you're getting your eggs, a little sausage, a little bacon, and all the, you're ordering your coffee, and you're getting up there and getting a buttered bagel for one of your kids, and there's Zach with the big plate, getting his French toast.
And his son is...
And he's sitting right next to you at breakfast. Hawaiian All you want shirt. Is a little peace and quiet, and there's Zach.
And Andrew's son is like, hey, why is Goofy out of his costume?
I'll stop. Bilotti, do you think you'd follow him around?
If I would follow him around?
No, would Zach follow...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
I would, if I was Bogus, I would leave the park. I purposely go to another park to avoid him. That's a family time. I have to be with my family.
We're gonna change spend the another, itinerary.
We're going to spend another $200 today to avoid this one man.
Well, you can get the park hopper. You can hop around from park to park. They do that in Disney World. It is the happiest place in the world. I mean, it would be tough to wipe a smile off my face, but that's the last time I want to, A, be breaking down sports is when I'm at Disney World. When I'm on, you know, it's a small world, and I'm trying to enjoy that for like the eighth time during the course of the day because my kids love that ride. And I went on it last time we were there in Disney was like a year and a half ago. We went on that ride about eight times in the span of a day. Ugh. We were there all the time. Ugh. It's a small over and over and over again. I love Disney, but Zach breaking down radio, talking about the future, the medium, you know, what's going on. I don't need sports, talking about Eli Manning and the Giants. That's not what I'm looking to try and do if I'm at Disney. And you know, Zach would not get the hit early on. You'd have to really set the point and make it known that you're leaving. And leave me alone. I think that's basically what you have to do. But we're going to get a bogus update a little bit later on.
I can't wait to find out if this has actually happened. We've created this entire story.
Well, hopefully we'll get in touch with him. Hopefully he'll answer Besegli's text.
I'll just have to, maybe what I should do is I should text Zach to call Andrew at the exact time, so then when Andrew sees that we're calling, it'll be a good reason to get off the phone or see Zach.
There you go! There you go!
That's
you got your thinking cap on! Nice job!
That's a smart plan.
That is a smart plan. What's going on this morning, Heller?
All right, Moose, the Thursday night game, you've been talking about it so far this morning. The Ravens winning their 10th in a row, and they also lock up the AFC North title.
Pat Ricard comes in motion. Jackson takes a snap, spins to the right. Throws complete. Ingram at the 5. Ingram leaps. Ingram in. Touchdown. Mark Ingram. And the lead is now stretching to a rout.
Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. 5 touchdown passes for Jackson. The Ravens blew out the Jets at home 42-21. Jackson also ran for 86 yards, giving him more than 1,100 for the season, breaking Michael Vick's record for rushing yards by a quarterback. Now, Lamar was frustrated in the first half, and head coach John Harbaugh watched him rally the offense in the second half.
They respect him, and they respond to it great. I mean, you love the fire and the competitiveness, and he wants to be great on every single series, and that's just, I think it reflects all their attitude about it, right? So I think they appreciate it.
The Ravens are now 12-2. The Jets fall to 5-9. Former NBA Commissioner David Stern suffered a brain hemorrhage and underwent emergency surgery in New York. The league did not give an update yet on the 77-year-old's condition. On the court from Thursday, the Sixers handed the Celtics their first home loss.
5-point lead for the Sixers. Ennis has it out top with Tobias. A two-guard front. Embiid comes out the screen. Jaylen Brown trying to stay connected with Tobias. Over to Joel. He shoots a three. It's in the air. It's gone. Embiid knocks down a three. And oh, yeah, he waves his fist. He's having fun in Boston.
And Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Joel Embiid, a season-high 38 points, also 13 rebounds. Sixers beat the Celtics 115-109. In Mexico City, the Mavericks outscored the Pistons 122-111. Luka Doncic, 41 points, his 8th triple-double of the season. LSU quarterback Joe Burrow wins the Maxwell Award and the Davey O'Brien Award. That's best overall player and best quarterback, respectively. And Burrow's also the favorite to win the Heisman on Saturday here in New York. NHL, 7 straight wins for the Flames. They beat the Maple Leafs 4-2. The Red Wings end their 12-game winless streak, topping the Jets 5-2. The Sharks have lost 6 in a row. Rangers beat them 6-3. Lightning hand the Bruins their 5th straight loss 3-2. Blues over the Golden Knights 4-2. In golf, the U.S. trails the international team 6.5-3.5 after day 2 of the President's Cup in Australia. Moose.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. Good update. We'll chat with you next hour. Coming up straight ahead, we'll mix a little NBA into the conversation. A little NFL, too. Not of the game variety. I mean, the Thursday night game, not much of it. Just a tour de force performance by Lamar Jackson and the Ravens doubling up the Jets. But interesting trip to Whole Foods, which is a great spot. A little pricey, but a great spot. Great company by Sean Payton, the Saints head coach. And Joel Embiid agrees with his critics, then shows his greatness. We'll explain It's Taz and the Moose. Mark Belusa's flying solo on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Taz and Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Mark Malusa is flying solo here on this Friday morning on CBS Sports Radio. And it's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every single day. So, NBA and the association, and certainly, first and foremost, want to send our thoughts and prayers out to former NBA Commissioner David Stern, who had suffered a brain hemorrhage yesterday afternoon while he was at a New York City restaurant yesterday afternoon. Emergency services ambulance was sent to a restaurant, in reports that there was a individual having a heart attack. It was a brain hemorrhage. He had emergency surgery to stop the bleed. The NBA issued a statement, last night, amazing. I mean, stunningly enough, the first person to tweet about it yesterday afternoon, 4 hours before the NBA statement came out, was Lenny Dykstra. I have no idea how he tweeted, how he knew what transpired, but he was the first one to send warm wishes to David Stern, and we do hear the whole Taz of the Moose family, certainly an iconic commissioner, did so much for the growth of the game of basketball, for where it is today. Michael, Magic, Larry, kind of the golden era of NBA basketball and the tremendous growth that it showed in a sport for popularity. David Stern was the architect for a lot of it. So certainly you think about him here on this Friday morning, and you hope that he's able to get to a speedy recovery, and we'll see exactly the severity of that brain hemorrhage that he suffered yesterday while he was out to lunch in New York City. So with that being said, last night, big game in the NBA up in Boston between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics. And, two of the better teams in the Eastern Conference, the Celtics are now 17-7 with the victory. The 76ers are 19-7 in the 115-109 victory. And listen, Philadelphia, when you think about, some of the teams in that Eastern Conference and the teams that potentially can get themselves to an NBA Finals, you think about those two teams. You think about the 76ers, you think about the Celtics, certainly you think about Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Miami Heat are having a very, very good year for Spoelstra and Pat Riley down there in South Beach, sitting here at 10 games over the 500 mark, or 12 games, I should say, over the 500 mark as we sit here on this Friday morning. But Joel Embiid's kind of like, you think about the two great stars on the Philadelphia 76ers. You think about Ben Simmons, and you think about Joel Embiid. And two players who've got all the athletic and all the basketball ability you can want. I mean, Ben Simmons has got the size and the handle. He just doesn't have the shot. Didn't have the shot going LSU in the year that he played there. Hasn't developed that shot early on in his career with the 76ers, and that's the big knock on Ben Simmons. He can do it all. He can defend. He can get to the rim. He can break down a defense. He's got great court vision. He's good in the open floor. The one thing for Ben Simmons, in a league in which everybody can shoot the basketball, Ben Simmons can't shoot. Now it's kind of become a thing to follow in terms of how many threes, or if he will attempt a three in the course of a game, and if he should ever attempt a three and hits that three, the 76ers bench erupts like basically they just won a championship. I mean, that's where Ben Simmons, in terms of shooting the basketball, is right now, but that's the big knock on his game, and you'd love to see Ben Simmons develop that outside shot and get more consistent with that outside shot as his career, and preferably right now, single-mindedly, as this season does go along. The other guy's Embiid, who some, when he was coming out of Kansas, compared footwork-wise to Hakeem Olajuwon. Said he's that, for a big man, he's that athletically gifted. I think he played soccer growing up, just like Hakeem played soccer. And he said, you know, for because sometimes you see guys that are 6'11", 7 feet tall, they're not the fleetest of foot. They've got an enormous presence, but they don't have the footwork. They don't have the foot speed. They don't have the dexterity. They don't have any of that. Doesn't come along. It's the rare guy that you're able to find it that has it all. And Embiid has it all. Now, physically, he's not been able to hold up, and he's been better as of late, but early on in his career, especially dealing with those foot issues coming out of Kansas, you know, it was more often a case of where the hell is Joel Embiid instead of where is he playing basketball tonight. But the other thing about Joel Embiid is this. Is Embiid's also a guy that some believe necessarily doesn't work as hard as he should work. People thought toward the tail end of last year that he was overweight. And they needed to lose some weight. And then the reports out of Philadelphia coming into training camp this year that he had lost, you know, 15 or 20 pounds coming into the season, and that he was in much better physical condition this year as he was a year ago. And the one big knock on Joel Embiid is basically, and Charles Barkley and Shaq, is that you got to work. You got to work. If you're going to want it, you got to work. It's one thing, and Bisegli and I were talking about it during the course of one of the breaks, is this. All these guys are great players. There's not a guy in the league that didn't dominate AAU, didn't dominate in high school, wasn't great in college. You know, you're talking about the elite of the elite play in this game. So everybody's great. Some have different strengths and weaknesses than others, but they're all, and there's different levels of great, but they're all great at the game. You can't get to the NBA and stink. You got to be able to do something well with the basketball in your hands or for a team to help that team win. But what separates you? If I'm taking two guys, equal talent level, you know, same strengths and weaknesses as a player, same God-given athletic ability, same body build. If I'm taking those two players, what's going to separate one from the other? You could say opportunity, team that they're playing with, that's fine. Talent around them in terms of winning, that's fine. But if I'm looking individually what separates you is your work. Michael Jordan was an all-time great. For my money, the best basketball player the sport's ever seen. I know the LeBron fans are going to say LeBron, and that's fine. And it's debatable one way or the other. Either LeBron, Michael, LeBron. But LeBron works, and Michael was a workhorse. He was consistently evolving his game. He was consistently in the gym. He found things to drive him. Criticism that drove him. Historical achievements that drove him. Individual achievements, team achievements, all those things that drove him, that got him to the gym, that got him on the basketball court. The people that said he couldn't shoot coming out of North Carolina, developing that mid-range game as his career went along. Then saying people, you can't shoot the three, developing the three-point shot as his career went along. He worked. He didn't just lean on his pure God-given athletic ability. He evolved and got better as a player. And that's the message for Embiid. The sky's the limit, is it not? When you look at him as a player. The sky's the limit. And last night, he was great, dropping in 38 points and a 76er victory on the road up in Beantown. He was great. And Joel Embiid can be consistently great if the dedication to the sport is there. And that's the message. And when he gets called out by Shaq and he gets called out by Charles Barkley and he kind of agrees with the criticism, that's what you want to see. That's what you want to hear. If you're a 76er fan, you should be excited about that. You know why you should be excited about that? Because for this very reason. Because maybe Joel Embiid is finally motivated. And if Joel Embiid is motivated, watch out in the rest of the Eastern Conference. Because he's that kind of talent. We'll come back. We'll preview the Sunday that will be Week 15 in the National Football League. Taz of the Moose, Mark Melusa's flying solo on this Friday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.